Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, B, they ready. Let's go.
I'm feeling myself.
I'm with some hood girls looking back at it, and a good girl in my tax bracket. Got a black card and less sex habit. These Chanel bags is a bad habit. I do balls, Dale Mavericks. My Maybach, black Maddie. Bitch never left, but I'm back at it. And I'm feeling myself, Jack Rabbit. Feeling myself, back off. Cause I'm feeling myself, Jack off. Maybe think about me when he whacks off. Wax on? National anthem, hats off. Then I curve that nigga like a bad horse. Let me get a number two with some Mac sauce. Or on a run tour with my mask off.
I'm feeling myself.
Days the game when that digital dropped. Know where you was when that digital popped. I shot the world. Male or female, it make no difference. I shot the world. World stop.
Carry on.
Pussy on feet. Pretty gang, always keep them niggas on deep. Riding through Texas, feed them for his breakfast. Every time I whip it, I be talking so reckless. He said, damn, Nikki is tight. I said, yeah, nigga, you right. He said, damn, babe, you so little, but you be really taking that pipe. I said, yes, daddy, I do. Give me brain like NYU. I said, teach me, nigga, teach me. All this learning here is by you.
I'm whipping that work, he's digging that work. I got it. 36 for that real, pack it full of that bounce, baby. Come get you some of that bounce, baby.
I'm feeling myself.
Cooking up that bass, looking like a kilo. He just wanna taste. Bitches ain't got punchlines or flow. I have both and an empire also. Keep getting gifts from Santa Claus at the North Pole. Today I'm icy, but I'm praying for some more snow. Let that hoe know.
He in love with that
cook.
Why these bitches don't ever be learning? You bitches will never get what I be earning. I'm still getting plaques for my records. That's urban. Ain't gotta rely on top 40. I am my rap legend. Just go ask the kings of rap. Who is the queen and things of that nature? Look at my finger. That is a glacier. Hits like a laser. Tripping on that work. Trippin' off that perk. Flippin' up my skirt and I be whippin' all at work. Taking trips with all them keys. Car keys got bees. Singin' with the queen bee and we be whippin' all of that D. Cause we dope girls, we
flawless.
We the poster girls for owlers. We run around with them bowlers. Only real niggas in my cowlist. I'm the big kahuna. Go let them whores know. Just on this song alone, bitches on her fourth floor. You like it, don't you?
Snitches.
Young Money.
Good evening, everyone. This is Jessica Baptiste. I sound a little bit hoarse because I have actually been under the weather. I had a cold bug or some type of cold bug last week, which has carried over to this weekend. But I feel much better. I actually lost my voice, but I wanted to continue with this round of shows that I have. I actually today have two of my very, very good friends that will be joining me. I didn't know until I went on social media that today is Friends Day. So it's actually kind of a coincidence, even though I don't believe in coincidence most of the time, that we're doing a show about friendship and friends. So without further ado, I want to introduce two of my good friends, Brianna and Anna. and I'm going to bring them on in a second. You there?
Yeah, Bree's here.
Hey, I'm here.
Hey.
How are you?
How are y'all doing? Oh, gosh. I actually feel better, but I still do not sound like my regular self. I sounded very, very, like, hoarse and husky last week when my voice was coming back. But for the early part of last week, I didn't have a voice at all, which almost killed me.
Oh,
but,
you'll be okay.
Yeah. How are y'all doing?
I'm splendid.
Okay.
I'm great.
Okay. What did y'all do today? Nothing?
Absolutely nothing.
I woke up at 10.
Okay.
Realized it was raining.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm not going anywhere. I have nowhere to go. I didn't say yes to anything except your show. And
wow.
Took about 3 naps. Yeah, girl.
Three naps.
No obligations and did not aspire to have any.
What?
Is that terrible?
That is crazy. I mean, I took a nap. I actually woke up from a nap like an hour ago, but my nap was more so a medicine-induced nap, so I wasn't going to go out. I was bad. I did go to the grocery store, but I had to go.
Oh, I went to my mother's house and
okay.
ate her food, but that was about it. That's it. I was like, nope, nothing else.
Okay, no, I
wow.
watched Electric Dreams and played The Sims.
You did what?
I said I watched Electric Dreams and played The Sims. It's been my day.
Oh, my God. I have Sims. I think I have Sims 4, which I've not played in years. I have that and Mortal Kombat and what's that game? It's not Enchanted. Is it Enchanted? The redhead girl, Disney movie. The
Brave?
With the redhead. One of them. I mean, I just bought it at GameStop because I like the way it looked. So that was
Brianna has been playing The Sims since I've known her. She has been living The Sims life ever since.
Oh, my gosh.
Hours.
that's almost, what's that one?
I really have not played in a long time because you need downtime. And I was like, oh, I've got some actual downtime today. I was like, let me go see what my Sims are doing.
See? But what's that? There's another one like The Sims called Second Life. You ever heard like people
okay,
meet up on Second Life? What is Second Life really? Is it still around?
Yeah, it's like but it's more so like a real life simulation. Like there's people like with the Sims, it's just all computer simulated. It's just your characters, what you control. With Second Life, like you're really interacting with other people that are also playing in Second Life. And you have that,
okay.
like, job, you can go to jail. Like, it's all kinds of crazy. Like, I was
go
like,
to
no,
jail in Second
like,
Life.
Yes, and you like have to have a job. And I'm like, this is no.
Well,
in order
I would
to, like,
say that. Documentary.
I would totally play Second Life just so I can be ratchet
in my Second Life for real. No.
And
because no, I saw this documentary. It came on OWN's network when it first started. When Oprah started doing her Oprah Winfrey Network, I was watching this documentary about Second Life. And this lady left. She met a guy. She left her husband to go with this guy that she met on Second Life, and very quickly realized that he was not who she thought he was. Duh, you met him on Second Life. I mean,
don't do it. I'm like, I already have to go to work for real in the real world. I don't want to have to come
exactly.
home and then go to work.
No,
you have to pay for things in the real world.
Brie, about the Sims thing.
Okay.
If you stop playing the game, let's say, and you leave a character off, I don't know, they're about to give birth or something. Do you just save it and come back to that birthing thing, or they give birth while you're not playing the game?
You save it and just come. It picks back up where you.
Okay. I had in Sims 4, I have 4 children. I was always pregnant in Sims 4. And when you get pregnant, like they have to, no, really, like you have a husband and then you can go for the choices, making a baby, wahoo, and some other stuff. And so you actually throw up, have morning sickness, you get, your stomach gets bigger, and it's really, really funky. And so I play Sims, but my Sims game that I saved, the last one, I know I have 4 kids. And I couldn't find them. They're
my
all over the town.
My kids actually booed somebody after sex. Like, they got out the bed and was like, boo.
What? I'm telling you, these games, these video games are crazy. They are. I may have to hook up my video game and play something, because I may do that later. It's not a bad idea.
I do have one particular town where I'm trying to see how long it would take the alien population to take over the human race.
Oh, my gosh. Which Sims game do you have? Which one? You on what?
I have all of them.
She has all
Wow.
of them.
Wow,
I have all of them.
Okay, you can play Sims. We're just, you do not need to go to Second Life. If you go to Second Life, I'm hoping intervention.
I'm not going to lie.
No Second Life.
You know, Janine used to play, bro, Janine. And yes. She played IMDU, and she was like, oh, go on Second Life. And I was like, oh, no, this is too much. This is too far.
Wow. I just can't. I have a
very addictive personality, so
yeah,
if
we
I
know.
Start playing that, I might not do anything else. I might not do anything
See,
else.
But,
I might
but,
not be good
but
for anything
with
else.
Me, I mean, I play, like, I like fight games too, and I have Mortal Kombat Armageddon, so I would play Sindel's character, and I never ever could get past Raiden. For whatever reason, everything could be going fine. I could not get past Raiden. So I just said, well, I'm play Raiden's character and Raiden play himself. Still couldn't get past him. So it's some kind of
I played Donkey Kong on Nintendo 64 when I was like in my early 20s. And I played that thing day and night.
When we were roommates.
Donkey Kong Country? Is Donkey Kong Country?
Yes. And there's a portion in there. There's a portion of the game where you have to play, it's like one of those old-time arcade-type games within the game. It's like a level that you have to pass. You have to save, the princess or some chick. And I could never pass it. And I tried so hard to pass that set, and I could never pass it. And I never really beat the game because I couldn't pass that one. And I was just like, forget it. I spent hours, Jessica, hours, months.
But see, the thing is, our generation remembers. Like, I remember my first video game. I didn't have an Atari. Like, my cousins had an Atari. And I remember Super Mario Brothers was on the Atari. I had a Nintendo. And with Nintendo, I had Super Mario Brothers 1, and I had Duck Hunt with that stupid gun. And the dog would come out and laugh at you if you didn't make it. I remember all that. My dad still has my Nintendo. Yeah, dad still has my Nintendo, and he has my Sega Genesis. Because I didn't really fool with Sega too much. Because after Sega, he
had
Nintendo.
Why don't we ever have, a girls' video game day? I think my sister still has Nintendo 64. And that was actually the very first Nintendo game that we ever had because we were so poor. I think that's why I was probably obsessed with it when we finally got it, because I never got to play any other game. I would just watch other kids play the game. Oh, that's kind of sad saying that.
That's horrible.
I think we should all get together, bring our games. You know, I'll bring my TV with me, whatever. I can carry that thing. And... you know, go from game to game, and I think that would be a fun afternoon, a little
I think that would be, I think that would be awesome. I mean, the only, I had a Nintendo, I had a Sega Genesis, and I had a Game Boy. And then after that, I didn't want to play video games anymore until I got to be in my early 20s, and then everybody's like, oh, a Wii, and I have a Wii. And then
you didn't
want to
play
any
more video games until you start, you stop playing them until you discover the dick, huh?
Yeah. Well,
like, yep,
that,
this is much
that,
better control.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. You know, when you get older, you get more into other things. I mean, what's another goofy thing I used to like doing? I mean, I went from in middle school to reading Judy Blume, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, to reading The Color Purple and reading Henry Miller, Tropic of Cancer, which my father had a conniption fit about because,
you know,
I have
never read that. Wasn't that a band's book at one point, Tropic of Cancer?
Yes.
I remember
it needed to be.
That my
it needed,
dad.
It, matter of fact,
my dad
matter of fact,
used to work.
Uh-huh.
Because
my dad
used to work in a construction company, and oftentimes he used to go into different houses, and they would give away books. So, like, you know, people were just trying to clear out their spaces or whatever, and that was one of the books that he had in a pile, and I remember seeing it, but I never read it. But then when I was researching about banned books and stuff, which a lot of times I'm like, why were they banned? But I never got to read that one, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
it was.
Do you
Henry,
have a copy
Henry
of it?
Miller? I do, but it's so old. It's a paperback that I actually got from the library and had a rummage sale because it wasn't at our school library. I had to go to the public library. And so I'm all of 16 checking out Tropic of Cancer. The only reason that I even was interested in Henry Miller was because one day HBO showed Henry in June, which is Uma Thurman's first movie. And so I'm like, okay,
really?
Henry Miller, yeah. I'm like, okay. And it's the first movie that actually got the NR-17 rating. NR-17 replaced the X rating. And so I'm watching Henry in June, and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Now, in school, they say Henry Miller is one of the greatest writers of the 20th century. So I'm like, okay, let me go check out Tropic of Cancer. Librarian's looking at me like, okay. And so I go
and
get the book, and it's a paperback copy with the laminated cover. And so I'm reading it, and as I'm reading it, I'm laughing because it's like, how in the world are they telling us this man's a great writer, which he was a good writer, but we can't read his stuff. Henry Miller was probably the most hedonistic person that ever got a publishing contract. I promise you, complete pervert. But
I mean,
he wrote it very well. He did. Like, there's one quote. It says, "Everybody says sex is obscene. The only true obscenity is war."
I can get with that. That's actually true.
Okay. Then he says, hold on. He goes, "I've lived out my melancholy youth. I don't give a fuck anymore. What's behind me or what's ahead of me? I'm healthy, incurably healthy. No sorrows, no regrets, no past, no future. The present is enough for me day by day today."
Why not? I mean, everybody's focused now on, you know, being more present focused and being mindful, you know, being more present centered.
Yeah, this book
and
was written
in 1920. You know what's funny? Like, about what?
It was written in the 20s.
I mean,
clearly.
But I think, you know, a lot of people, and I find this very, I don't know if it's, I would say refreshing for me, but I think a lot of people that don't hide their sexuality, their curiosity towards sex, their, you know, that I don't know, that passion for sex, whatever, I think we are a little bit more free. Like, we feel like, I would say, a little bit less stressed, too, about certain life events. Like,
yeah.
We don't really... We can overcome a lot of situations because is sex not a taboo? It's one of those taboos that people are like shy away from, and I'm like, but why? It shouldn't.
Well,
I feel like it's worse than other things.
But I think it depends on what type of people you're talking about, because I know our generation, I mean, you got to think about it, guys. We grew up in a generation of safe sex. We grew up around just, I mean, just, I remember looking at, remember those Calvin Klein ads? Remember, like, for Obsession and stuff? I remember being, like, 5 and 6 years old and really not understanding what they were about, but it was like, oh, okay, that's different. Then when I got older, it was like, okay, the man was selling perfume, but he was using sex to do it. So I don't really find a lot of people in our generation taboo about sex. The ones I know that are taboo about sex, I just can't get over how some people in, you know, our parents' generation, the free love generation, are taboo about sex and drugs. Because, I mean, the stuff that they're doing is worse than stuff that we're doing, to me. That's just me.
I mean, yeah, but I think that, I think, and this is just me, you know, I talk out of my ass sometimes, but I think maybe because of the drug usage that, you know, happened in those times, they may very well use that as an excuse of why they were so open about sex. Meanwhile,
yeah,
we're just open about sex because, fuck, we like fucking. We like sex. We enjoy sex. There's no real big deal about it, you know?
No.
I don't need to take anything to enjoy sex and to, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my opinion. I mean, obviously back to Henry Miller in the 1920s.
Like our parents' generation as well. Like, I guess because of all of the, you know, free love, you know, hippie style drugs and all that, I mean, I can see them going into, like, being adults, going into the 80s with, like, the crack epidemic, and then kind of seeing the long-term effect of all that free love, free drug use and stuff like that.
True.
And that kind of being the catalyst to say, hey, we're going to teach our kids to just say no and all that. And stuff.
Just say no.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, she's right.
Because that's when, like, you know, that's when, like, the war on drugs, DARE came about.
Yeah.
We had all of this. All of that as a response to all that shit that happened between, like, the 60s and the early 80s. It was like, oh, yo, hey, maybe we should do all this shit. Let's try to teach the kids not to do this.
Yeah. I mean, but, and again, we grew up, I mean, I remember taking, was it, we had PE/health, and health was nothing but like a 1 week, maybe a couple of day course on reproductive health. So we basically, they separated the boys and the girls. This is a true story. They separated boys and the girls. And they talked about the different types of contraception and, you know, condoms and stuff like that. So when you think about it, like, I mean, I'm going to be really honest. I knew what a condom was before I knew how to drive a car. I swear, I'm serious.
So did you have cleavage? We had cleavage, and the parents had to sign the permission slip for you to take it.
Yes.
I don't even remember
that. Yeah, and they talked about, but they talked about STDs, too. They talked about chlamydia, herpes. Yeah.
I don't even remember taking health.
When we were younger, like the big STD, and this is for anybody younger who's listening that is a millennial, because we're not millennials. We caught the tail end of Generation X. But when we were younger, or at least I know when I was younger in my high school, the biggest STD that was going around, surprisingly, and this is really, really bad, was gonorrhea. Gonorrhea and herpes.
Herpes,
I mean,
That's crazy. I don't remember taking a sex ed class. And my
really?
What grade did you take it in? Yeah, really.
Oh God.
What grade did you take it in?
It was middle school and high school.
I don't remember taking a sex ed class.
It was like seventh grade.
Yeah, I think we had one in like seventh, eighth grade, and then we had another. It was like part two. In like sophomore year, I think.
Yeah, and that was it. After that, they didn't do it no more. They stopped after a certain age. But everybody in my sophomore PE health class were not virgins. I mean,
I think
it's like at that point.
The one in middle school was more so of a, oh, this is puberty. here's what your period is.
Oh, God.
And all of that.
Oh, y'all.
And
oh, God.
High school, they got more into like this. No, we had in high school, we had the ABCs of STDs. Did you all get that, like, printout?
No, no. We had the old, we had the old 19.
It was, like,
that's
all these
ridiculous.
Rules about STDs and stuff.
We had,
that's
when
crazy.
I was in high school, we had, like, the old 1970s film strip where they actually showed pictures of different things, and it was enough to gross you out. And then you had to have a test on it. And I remember the test. There's one question was about conception. They would never. Nowadays, I'm sorry, and I'm going to keep it real. Growing up in the 80s and the 90s, you can never get away with that in school now, where you actually had to explain the steps of conception. You can't do it. You just can't do it. And I remember that every guy missed the question and every girl got it right. Of course we got it right, because we know about that stuff more than a guy. So I don't know. I just don't
remember taking health class. You know what I remember most? In terms of like sex and whatever. What I remember like middle school. I just remember watching. You remember when they used to show us the National Geographic documentaries on animals or whatever, and you know every once in a while you had a scene of like I don't know, two lions fucking or something. That's what I remember. But I do
That's
not
it?
Specifically remember a class. I mean, and then I have a bad memory. You know, you ask Bria, I have a terrible memory. I don't remember. I have a very bad memory. So it could just be, you know, I probably took one. And I just don't remember it. And then when you went back to the condom thing, the first time I saw a condom because I was rummaging through my mother's drawers and I saw one and I was just like, oh, that's a condom. And then, you know, a childbirth and everything. Shit, my mom was pushing out babies. So I was like, okay, you know, but I don't remember anybody specifically telling me this is what this is for, this is what this is for. I was going to the gyno, six, 15 maybe. So,
yeah.
By then, I was pretty much aware, but
I mean, there's certain things
like
you didn't know. Yeah, I mean, but I'm like, to be honest, and I read a lot. So, like I said, I went from reading Katherine Patterson and Judy Blume to reading Henry Miller and Alice Walker. But I mean, I would read and just want to know stuff. And as a matter of fact, today is Judy Blume's birthday. I saw that on social media. She's 80.
She's
80 years old. Yes, she's still alive. I was signed up for her master class, her master writing class. Yes, she just actually wrote another book, but they don't like it. Like, it's an adult contemporary piece, and they don't like it. But, I mean, think about it. You know, I'm not taking anything against millennials. I think, you know, they're cool and everything. But think about it. Think about the times that we grew up. We grew up in the hotbed of the AIDS epidemic. We grew up in the middle of, remember Waco? Like, I saw the movie for Waco. Then I was watching American Crime Story about Johnny Versace. I remembered when that happened because I was staying with my grandparents that summer. It was the summer before my sophomore year of high school. I was staying with my grandparents, and we were watching America's Most Wanted. Because my grandfather loved America's Most Wanted. And Andrew Cannanan came up. This is 2 weeks before he killed Versace. Andrew Cannanan came up on America's Most Wanted. And I remember my grandfather said, oh, he looks crazy. And I'm like, he looks like a nerd. And then 2 weeks later, he shot Johnny Versace. So, I mean, we grew up during some really interesting times. Like, really, the internet was fairly new. I remember the first phone we had to have caller ID. I remember having a beeper. Remember a beeper?
I never had a beeper. I had a beeper when I started working for my full-time job. And I only had that thing for like 2 months before they were like, uh-uh. That's old. That's so old.
You know, my stepdad is like a huge like tech nerd. Like we had like the pre sidekick, before you could really
the
do
Motorola.
Like,
are you talking about the Motorola
messaging? We actually had like a keypad that you would hook up to the phone line, to the actual hardwire phone line. We had a keypad that you would hook into the phone line and type out the message.
Wow.
Into the pager.
Well, see,
that sounds like a lot of work.
I had a beeper because my dad wouldn't know where I was at all times.
But I had that in middle school when people thought I was a shit.
What was it called?
No,
I don't know. It was like, but could you remember this? It was like in between like a regular pager and a sidekick. It was about the same size
okay.
as a sidekick. But you could see,
I think
like,
I remember
actual,
that.
Like, yeah, it had like the text messaging on it. It was like pre-SMS text. Like I said, yeah, it was an actual keyboard that you took into the phone line.
And this had to be, what, mid-90s? About mid-90s?
Yeah, it was probably like 94, 95.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, we grew up through some really, really interesting. Are y'all following that American Crime Story, Johnny Versace? Are y'all watching it?
No. Nah.
Uh-uh. I watched.
You
the
need
last
to watch
one.
It.
I watched. If I didn't watch this one,
is did you
the
watch
one
the
where,
episode?
Wait. Is that the one where is it? Who plays Johnny? I mean Gianni.
I don't know the guy's name,
not
but
Johnny.
He looks just like him. You talking about Andrew Cannon? You talking
I know
about the serial killer
one? Isn't there one where Ricky Martin is in it or something?
He plays his lover. He plays Johnny Versace's Antonio. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's really, really good. Penelope Cruz plays his sister.
Why does it seem like the lover is always called Antonio? What the fuck? That's
his name.
Oh, no, I don't know.
That's his name. Oh, my God.
Based on real life.
Yes, that's his name. Like... He actually has a fashion house. Like, Johnny left him a lot. He left him a good portion of his business, but it's so good. And the reason that because I didn't watch the OJ one until after it aired. And the only reason I didn't is because I really couldn't stay up to watch it. But I'm watching this, and the guy that plays Cunanan, and what pisses me off is the FBI screwed up catching him so many times. Johnny Versace was his last victim. He was like number 6. This guy literally
was like a serial killer type shit.
Yes. He had left so many paper trails to him. He stole these mint condition coins from one of his victims' home. And then he went to the pawn shop to pawn it. The lady recognizes his FBI composite, calls the cops. Cops don't do nothing. Like, she's like, he was just store. Then at a convenience store, just one instance where he was at a convenience store, somebody recognized him. The cop came and missed them. They never, ever, ever passed out flyers or anything with his FBI composite that this guy was in the neighborhood. He was so sloppy in everything he did. It's like he wanted to get caught. And so it's so aggravating.
Then that's like a serial killer move sometimes when they like want to get caught and they leave like a fucking trail and shit. Don't quit telling me about it because I want
to
watch it now. Don't spoil it.
You have.
I
to
really
watch
never.
It.
Like I know.
You have
like
to watch
a historical event that happened.
It will frustrate you. Yeah, it will frustrate you.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up to say, but you know I'm not into fashion or anything like that. So when he died, I really didn't pay any attention to it. But
With Versace and everything like that, I think the most horrible thing about it, and his sister even mentioned it in one episode, Penelope Cruz plays Donatella, and I'm telling you, they are portraying her to be the most cold-hearted person. Everything that went wrong with Versace, she blamed on his partner. Everything. This man can't win for lose. But there's one part where she was talking and she said that my brother, because they're saying, and I don't know in the American Crime Story, they're saying that Versace was HIV positive. I don't know if he was, but they're saying that he was, that he almost died after he found out a couple years before he got killed. And, you know, they make mention of he almost died and just come back and survive that, to be taken out like that for no reason. It doesn't make any sense. And that's the whole thing. It's like none of it makes any sense on how it happened and why it happened. It's just, it's effed up. It's really good, though. I'm not going to give too much away. But next season, they're saying they're going to do Monica Lewinsky. Yeah, but next season, they're going to do Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. That's what
why?
I read.
Why? Oh, that I don't want to.
You said why? You said why?
I know. That is
like, why.
You know which one? I really do. I would be interested in watching, because this is what was the one that cut the dick off her husband? She was Hispanic too. And
Elena Bobbitt.
I would want to see that story. I want to see how that shit happened. Like. Show that shit, you know. Show her, and that's the whole point.
You guys, all the stuff that we're talking about happened when we were like teenagers.
Around the same
like Versace, yeah. Monica Lewinsky, Bobbitt,
yep.
OJ. All that happened in our youth. That's what is so effed up about all of this. It's like none of this is really contemporary stuff. Everything that they're doing was 20 plus years ago. So it's just weird. It's so. I was watching the OJ one, and they were showing like cell phones, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. And then they were showing some of the music in it. What was that one? The one part, Bree, when they came into the courtroom, Black Superman. Do you remember that song?
What? No.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
Rewatch
OJ?
It.
The OJ?
Yeah, like they were playing music that was out during that time. Like there was a Portishead song. I don't know if you were a Portishead person. Were you a Portishead person?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's that song? The real sad one. Nobody Loves Me song. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I hear it in my head, but I can't tell you the title of it.
Yeah. I just remember the Nobody Loves Me.
But
yeah,
you know,
that's
funny. You know, like now that you're talking about all these events, and you know I feel like when these things happen, and we can throw in Selena in there too, because that was a big thing that happened
exactly.
around the same time.
Like,
I remember, like,
when are they going to do her?
People, it really did. They've done so many. They've done the movie for Selena, and I think
I would think they would do Selena over doing Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky.
They probably did do maybe like one of those like specials, but anyways, but you know, all those things affected people. And I think,
yes,
because I remember when Selena died, like, you know, the Hispanic community, because that, you know, I was younger and that's all I concentrated on. Like, we were in awe. We were in shock when she died, because it was
yeah.
like, how, why, you know?
It was
and
so
you feel, now you compare all
it
those
made
events,
no-
you compare
yeah.
you compare all those events and the way that people reacted to those events back then to what happens now, it feels like we have so many tragedies now that we are not, we move on faster from them, you know? And maybe that's why
yeah.
they stay, those past
yeah.
events stay in our minds for longer, because they actually
yeah.
meant something. We actually... We process them. Now we don't process shit. You know, on to the next tragedy.
No, because it's every day.
On to the next tragedy.
It's every day. Yeah.
It's like.
It's every
day. And that's what reminds me of, like, what President Obama said. Like, after the first few, he's like, we can't let ourselves become numb to this. Like, this should not be the new normal. But now
yeah.
we see
and,
it
is.
Really.
I mean, and that's like I'm saying, when I was watching the Waco thing. I remember when Waco happened, because I and it's so weird how I remember grade. I was in fifth grade when Waco happened. I remember the Oklahoma City bombing. I was in seventh grade when it happened. And so when OJ went on trial, I was first year middle school. I remember when they caught the Unabomber. I remember going in the post office with my dad when he would get stamps, and there would be the composite of the Unabomber. And I mean, it's like back then we didn't have the internet. So everything that you got came from the radio or television. You
yeah.
know, you really, The only, I think Monica Lewinsky came out when the internet was really picking up steam. But like Versace and OJ and Selena, we ain't had no internet. We just didn't have it. And so everything that we saw, you had to watch CNN, MSNBC, or unfortunately Fox News. But, I mean, nowadays you can just go on the internet and get your news quicker than any other, you know, other source. Yeah.
Maybe because we have more access to the internet now and more access to different types of stories, maybe that's why
yeah.
we have become numb, because we're so bombarded with information
exactly.
from every different aspect that we're not waiting for the 6 o'clock news to hear the new
exactly.
you know, findings or and all that stuff.
Just, yeah, it's
you know.
It's just it's interesting. Like I said, I didn't watch the OJ one. I watched it after the fact. And I, from what they're saying, they actually, American Crime Story is actually very truthful with OJ. I don't know how truthful it is with Versace. I guess we'll find out after this season. But with OJ, they actually say it was pretty accurate with the lawyers and the demeanor of stuff and, you know, what was going on. I was in home ec class when they read the verdict. And
I don't remember where I was.
My home ec teacher was in tears when they read the verdict. And I didn't even really, I'm like, okay. I mean, I didn't feel either way because to me, I didn't see the significance until I got older of what, you know, what it meant. And
yeah, me either.
I didn't
get it. So I would, like I said, if y'all can, please watch American Crime Story, the Versace or Assassination of Gianni Versace, because it's very interesting. And if it's truthful, I will say it's for the record, Andrew Cannanan was a crazy motherfucker. Because, really, y'all. I mean, you need to watch what he did. You need to watch, I mean... It will piss you off how the FBI dropped balls all over the place of getting that guy. He literally wanted to get caught and they couldn't do it. And I don't know if there was a stigma attached to it, because he killed, other than Gianni, like three or four closeted gay men. And one of the victims was kind of like,
you don't spoil it.
High profile.
Watch it.
What?
I'm
not telling y'all everything. Just watch it. Just please, when it comes on this week, the next episode, I don't know what they're going to talk about. The last one was good.
What is it on?
FX.
Wait, is that
it comes
on, Hulu?
I think, like 10 o'clock. Huh?
Is that on Hulu?
No, it's not
FX?
On Hulu.
Okay,
no,
okay,
I mean,
well,
you
can
see
on Hulu. I bet it's on Hulu.
Download the app. Download the app. Hold on, I'm about to tell you now because I'm looking it up.
I don't have a login.
Blah, 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 blah.
Somebody needs to share login information with me. Community, hello. Community login.
Brianna, you share your login. 10 o'clock, Wednesdays at 10 o'clock. But are you going to be up?
I'm always up.
We are on that no cable life, so we watch Hulu and streaming services.
Yeah.
We watch TV when we want to watch TV.
Yeah.
We don't do the cable thing. Speaking of Hulu, are y'all ready to watch The Handmaid's Tale? Are y'all
watched
the season?
I have not I think I'm on like the second to last episode of the second season, and I do this
It's only been one season. Huh? Second season's coming out.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm saying I'm on the second to last episode of the first season only because I like to binge watch them. And
okay.
I want to watch the rest of the first season along with the second season. Because I hate, you know, like, I hate the wait. It's just that's just the way I trick my mind.
Well, I don't know how they're going to do the second season, because the first season, they've already covered the entire book. And
well,
and the book is fantastic. And that's another one that I got caught up in. That was the last book I read in high school, was Handmaid's Tale. That was the final book. And I read it, and I'm like, wow. Claire Danes does an audio narration version of it. It's on YouTube. I was listening to it at work the other day.
And, oh, really?
She does a pretty good job. But in the book, they never say her name. They allude that it's June, but they never say her name in the book. And
well, don't
very
spoil
descriptive.
That either, because I remember reading it or starting in that, but I don't remember, like, because when I was watching the show, I remember a little snippet of it, like, you know, in my, but then I don't remember how it ended or, like, certain details about it, so chill.
Well, they're accurate. They're on the show, they're accurate with the characters. Maura in the book, she was an open lesbian, but she was not black. So in the book, black people actually got sent away. Jewish people actually were given opportunity to go back to Israel, and Jews had a choice of converting to Christianity, and Catholics also had the option of doing it. But the book is very descriptive. Like, there's one part in the book, and I'm not going to say anything else, where she's walking to the store and she's looking at the hangings for the day, and she's looking at the bag on a guy's face to see if he resembles her husband, because she doesn't know if her husband's dead or alive in the book. Yeah, it's really twisted. Yeah, it's really, really twisted. But
I
saw the
trailer show.
Huh?
Either way, I'd have got on the train. We discussed that.
Oh, my gosh. I think, but you know what? I would have left. I'm sorry. I would have went to Canada the minute that women could not hold anything. When women could not hold money, I would have went to Canada.
That would have been first stop. But I'm y'all know, if it went down like that, I would get on the train.
Really?
You're one of you. Who told me something about... you would be the one to get on that train and leave or something. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Was that you? Did we have this conversation on the text thread?
It may have been.
Somebody accused me
of
just leaving
train.
My friend. Oh, yes.
I mean...
Brianna said, we have an understanding. Like, serious. This is serious now. If some shit like this went down, if the zombie apocalypse went down, friendship... any emotional connection, that shit is gone. I will leave you the fuck behind.
Wow.
I don't care.
We came to this understanding.
No.
Because she has done this in real life. So.
Well, you know what? I would have went to Canada. I would have went to Canada. When the signs were there that you could not have a job and you cannot control your money, the man that's closest to you, which is either your husband, your brother, or your father, I would have said, F this, I'm going to Canada, I'm getting the hell out of here.
I would have
because
done
this
the
is
same
weird.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
I wouldn't say.
As soon as I showed up to my job and they were like, oh, yeah, all the women got to go, pack a bag today,
no.
We out.
No. I would have. But the scary thing about The Handmaid's Tale, the very, very scary thing about it, there are people in our government right now that kind of resemble some of that ideology. Cough, cough.
I mean, of course.
RVP. I cannot, to me, I don't understand. We got bigger fish to fry than worrying about a woman's place and not being able to do certain things. And and that's what's scary about it, is that, you know, some people have Fred Flintstone ideology about gender roles and what women are supposed to do. Now, I'm old school about some things. And one thing with me is, you know, when you're married, it's a two-way street. But I'm also a feminist about a lot of things too. Women, we don't make as much money as men in the workplace. We don't. We still are having to deal with issues of people trying to tell us what to do with our bodies. And I take great offense to that. in The Handmaid's Tale just brings all that up. Like, it really, I hate saying it, it's a possibility that that kind of stuff can happen. Not on that level.
I mean, yeah, and you know, like, I think red. It's fair. I think it's fair to say that it's not just men that have these.
No.
Old.
No, of course not.
You know, because I mean, who, you know, I'm not trying to be racist here, but who voted? Who? You know, white women.
Yes.
Voted for
but
these
you know
men.
What?
They were the majority
but again,
voters.
Again.
So,
and
I'm
to
like,
me, that's
how.
What's disgusting about it is they hate Hillary Clinton so much. And I'm going to keep it real. Hillary ain't all the way clean. Not at all.
No.
But I, as a woman, could not vote for a person who calls women pigs and dogs and tramps and the C word and just basically feels that a woman, or from what he says, is, you know, subpar to a man. So if you are a woman and you voted for that, come on. You know, what are you smoking?
Because, you know? This is my opinion on this. And I think that this is why they possibly, you know, voted for him. Because a lot of these women, and I may be generalizing, I may be stereotyping, and I'm sorry if I am. Well, I'm not, because whatever. But, you know, a lot of these women grew up with that, you know, they grew up dreaming of the white picket fence house, the perfect husband,
yeah,
the perfect life, the being a stay-at-home mom, you know,
yeah,
basically giving up your life to just live, to be a mom and, you know, to care for your children, to care for your husband, to care for your home. They never thought and never experienced, which is, you know, the big thing here, experienced those things
uh-huh.
from a man. They lived such a
yeah.
sheltered life, and that's
yeah.
what they wanted. They wanted such a sheltered life and got that sheltered life that they never thought that this was real. And even though
yeah.
it was televised, and even though, you know, other women were saying these, they didn't experience it. So it would know it's fake. That cannot possibly happen
yeah.
because my husband doesn't do that. Now, needless
okay.
to say, I'm like, you know, these are the same women that are now jumping on the Me Too bandwagon. And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
all
yeah.
of a sudden, you
yeah,
guys
yeah.
want to accept that there's an issue, yet you vote. And I'm not saying that he won because these women voted for him, but they had a pretty big, you know, chunk
yeah.
of votes in there.
There was
him.
A big margin. There
yeah.
was a big margin.
And let's be clear. And they may not have been voted for, you know, the president. They have been voted for the vice president. Because,
which is, again, that's disgusting in itself. And it brings up a larger issue, just not just with women, but people in general. I don't understand how you can vote against your own interests. I don't understand that. It just makes me feel, again, as an American society, we are so underread, we are so underinformed, and we don't care. As a general, not us, but everyone combined, we don't care. And it's sick and sad. It's really, really sick and sad.
I wouldn't say that we are misinformed. I said we're very much informed, but it goes back
yeah.
to what I said earlier today. We have gotten into this lifestyle where so many fucked up shit happens every day that any story that might affect us, it quickly, you know, gets replaced by something else. So we're not
exactly
fully giving it it's, you know, the right time to process and to understand how it can affect us. Or, you know,
yeah.
or whatever. It's the same thing. There's, I mean, I think we're informed. We're just, we're not given enough time to process.
No, we're not.
We're not before it's on to the next thing.
Yeah, that's true. That's a divergent. And sometimes I think I'm not keeping up with the political news until Robert Mueller does something of mass significance when he offered Flynn a deal. I just can't do it because it just runs together. Everything runs together.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, okay, I know what we got there and I know what we got here, but unless something of major significance happens, I cannot continue. I used to watch Rachel Maddow all the time. I stopped watching Rachel Maddow. I used to stay up sometimes to watch Lawrence O'Donnell. I stopped watching Lawrence O'Donnell because it just started running together. And it's just like, I hear it. Oh, yeah, okay, what else is new? That type of thing.
You know,
so,
like,
I mean,
only keeping up with it, and this is going to sound terrible because, you know, whatever. But this this was the first, or you know, last year was the first time that I was able to vote. When I became a citizen, I think it was just after Obama won his second term. So, you know,
okay.
I wasn't voting. So, you know, everybody was saying, well, you know, before we realized that Trump was actually going to win. Everybody
uh-huh.
was saying, well, if he does win, we're going to hold him accountable. We're going to make sure that, you know, we're keeping an eye on him and all this and all that. And I pride myself in saying, I do watch the news. I do try to listen
yeah.
to, I listen to NPR every day on my radio because I feel like it's, you know, you have different types of people talking about it. Because I want to know what's going on. I want to know, you know, how all this unfolds. I want to be part of this, you know, events or current events,
yeah.
whatever. But then again, and I just lost my thread of, I just read a text message. And,
it's okay. it's okay.
What was I going to say? Oh, but, you know, something that really annoys me is that when you bring up something that maybe Trump has done and you're like, you know, this guy, something else, you know, what the fuck? How is this?
Uh-huh.
How is he getting? The first thing you get from a lot of people is, well, let it go because Hillary didn't win. This is not about Hillary. I'm not defending
exactly.
Hillary because she wasn't my favorite either. This isn't about being a Republican or being a Democrat. This is about the fact that this nasty ass man is, you know, is our president. And he's getting us
yeah.
away with so much stuff. And I'm like,
yep.
this. I'm like, because in reality, I'm like, I agree with a lot of the Republican things. The, you know, their, I don't know what the word is for this.
Their ideology.
You know, yes, I agree with a lot of things that they want to do. And I agree with a lot of things that Democrats want to do. And maybe this is what is wrong. I think this whole bipartisan thing, where we only have two parties,
uh-huh.
is the issue. Because I'm like, I understand that we need an immigration, you know, law. This needs to be handled. And I'm not saying that every immigrant needs to become legal. No, there needs to be steps and there needs to be, you know, an order to this. And this isn't a
mm-hmm.
new thing. You know,
yeah.
the Democrats, and to be honest with you, Obama got a lot of the Hispanic votes because he promised an immigration reform. And they never got it. So
yeah.
my people have been used and have been promised this whole so many things for the votes, but we know when it comes for them to actually do something about it, we're giving, you know, again, we're just giving little crumbs, and it goes
yeah.
to both parties do it.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
kind of aggravating because I'm like, this isn't about me defending Hillary or me being upset because Hillary didn't win. I couldn't give a shit. This
yeah.
is about the fact
yeah.
that we are letting this man get away with so much
with murder. We're letting him get away with murder. We have to wrap it up, ladies. But we had a good conversation. I hate to cut you off. But
that's cool.
We'll just tune in. Everyone tune in on my next show. I don't know when it's going to be. It's probably going to be in another 2 weeks. As always, thank you, ladies, for joining me on a rainy Sunday afternoon. And my voice is starting
You're
to crack
welcome.
A little bit. But enjoy the rest of your weekend as I will enjoy mine. Everyone, enjoy your work week. I'll announce on Facebook the new show or the next show. So take care and talk to y'all later.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.